The Biden administration has announced an agreement with an Australian company to bring the first at-home rapid COVID-19 test available without a prescription to the United States. This news comes as COVID-19 hospitalizations continue to decline, though the number of people in the hospital is still higher than it was during the summer surge. Dr. Carlos Del Rio is the Executive Associate Dean of the Emory School of Medicine, and he joins me now. Dr. Del Rio, welcome.
Happy to be with you, Peter.
And first of all, at this stage in the game, when we're now deep into a vaccination drive, why does this kind of at-home rapid COVID test matter?
I think having better COVID testing and having rapid tests that you can do at home is going to be critical to do a lot of things like opening schools, like opening the economy, like opening businesses. I mean, I can envision if you had a test that was cheap. You know, if I was going to go tonight to work and I wasn't feeling well, or I was having a little bit under the weather, or just regularly check myself and do a COVID test, I think that would make a huge difference if we did testing that way.
Now, we're also seeing the number of hospitalized patients with COVID-19 in this country going down. What are you seeing? What are you thinking as you see those rates fall?
Well, I'm very encouraged to see hospitalizations go down. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, what I call the trifecta of Hollywood of holidays is gone, right? We had Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and that drove a lot of the disease that we're seeing right now. You know, as that's gone away, we're seeing a decrease. But you have to remember that we're still at about 100,000 people hospitalized from COVID. And the last peak, which was in the summer, we were about 60,000. So we're still coming down from a very, very high peak. I mean, we're coming down from Everest. You can still get killed on the way down. So, and deaths really have not decreased, and it's going to take a couple of weeks for deaths to start coming down. The 7-day rolling average for deaths is still about 3,000 deaths.
Wow. Well, the other issue is, of course, these variants that are now here from South Africa, Brazil, and the UK. What's top of your mind as we see those develop?
Well, I think the variants are different depending on what we talk about, right? Some of the variants are more transmissible, which is the case of the UK variant, and that's one that we obviously are following very closely and are very concerned about, because the number of cases, even though it's not more severe, if the number of cases goes up, then the number of people hospitalized and dead would also go up just at the similar rate of disease causing and death. But I'm also very concerned about the South African variant, which has, you know, last week was noticed for the first time, was discovered in South Carolina. And that variant actually has two characteristics that I worry about. Number one is more resistant to the monoclonal antibodies, those therapies that we have available. But number two, it didn't seem to be, when we see the results last week from the Novavax trial in South Africa, it did not seem like the vaccine was that effective protecting against that strain. And that to me is really the concern, is are we coming up with a strain that our current vaccines are not working? And companies are already working on doing modifications to their vaccines to take care of that. But again, you know, that means that, gee, I've been vaccinated. I have two doses of the Pfizer vaccine, but I may not be protected. I still may need a boost from a different variant. And you know, we cannot just continue to be doing modifications to the vaccine every time a new variant appears. So I'm really worried that we have to address this.
Well, exactly. So if someone has gotten the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, should they still be concerned about getting sick from one of these variants? What should they do?
Well, I think the first thing is, you know, these variants are not that common yet in the U.S., and I would still say that's why we're still wearing our masks. That's why we're still doing social distancing. That's why I'm still recommending that we do exactly pretty much what we were doing before, even though we're fully vaccinated, because the reality is I'm not ready to go do indoor dining. I'm not ready to go to a bar, to go to a close environment with lots of people and poor ventilation without my mask, because that's a problem.
With these vaccines, we've been working towards the goal of getting about 70% of the population vaccinated or immune in order to reach herd immunity. Do you think these variants have changed what it will take to get to that point? I mean, have they delayed our path to getting to herd immunity?
Well, they just put the bar higher, right? Because especially, for example, the UK variant, if the R-naught, which is how many cases you get from a transmission, increases, then the amount of people you need vaccinated or immune from infection to get to herd immunity also goes up. So it just increases the numbers we need to reach. But again, the reality is that we also need, that it's a good reminder that vaccinating the people in the U.S. is not enough. If we don't vaccinate globally, then we're not protected. If there's variants emerging in South Africa and England, we're still going to have a problem. So it really speaks to the fact that we, as a nation, the U.S., as a global leader, we have to also facilitate global vaccination, because we're going to be out of this when everybody in the world is vaccinated.
And the takeaway is, it is far from over. Dr. Carlos Del Rio, Executive Associate Dean of the Emory School of Medicine, thank you so much for your time.
Delighted to be with you.